We're not going to read the scriptures, but we are going to go back to the area, Luke 23. Braden read part of that. We're going to examine today a little bit of the cross. Every time that we come to this, we say it's not at all possible for us to understand completely what a crucifixion really was. The pain, the suffering, the humiliation, the cruelty, the viciousness of it. And it was also a place that, by the way, good people did not go. We find here in this story Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, the high priest. Probably they have never on purpose gone to a crucifixion before. It was for the lower classes to go and look and jeer and make fun. They were too far above that, but with Jesus, just as his trial, they would make an exception because of their hatred. Darkness fell. It was appropriate that darkness should fall. In the middle of the day, in the heat of their noontime, darkness was all that they get. Because darkness at this point is all that they deserve. For they choose darkness over light. The crucifixion was without a doubt the most brutal and vicious and degrading death in history. Aimed to be long, not a quick death. Aimed sometimes for the healthy individual, the strong young man. It will take 3 days of constant agony, screaming in pain. For others, not so long, because they wanted everyone to see. You do this to Rome, Rome will do this to you. But Rome wasn't entirely at fault, were they? The priests, the ones who were the arbitrators of justice before the holy God, before his holy temple, were responsible for this. From one end of the Roman Empire to the other, they understood crucifixion because they would see it. It was placed at the gates of the city, just outside, so that everybody coming and going would not miss this spectacle. Rome wanted to make sure that you saw it and were aware of it. Every one of them knew it, and every one of them hated it. The few writings that we have left over from the Roman Empire by Romans themselves, they describe how bad it was and that it was a curse that no Roman was legally allowed to be crucified. Only foreigners, people outside of the empire. And all those people knew that, and therefore hated crucifixion, if only for the reason that it was for them and not Romans. But even the Romans hated it, because it was such a vicious death. And in the midst of this, Jesus says what? Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. No one forgives from the cross. Now think about this for a minute. Especially, justly or unjustly, but here, unjustly, you are being tortured, pain by every sinew of your body. It's designed so that if you rest upon your arms, your chest goes forward, and you cannot breathe. And so you stay there, and enduring that much pain, until you can't stand it anymore, and then you push yourself up by your feet, which are nailed to wood. More vicious pain, but in a different section of your body. And you stay there until you can stand that pain no more, and then you relax, and it's back on your hands again. You're not inclined, because of pain, to be forgiving to those people who just nailed your hands, or who demanded that you be crucified. Nobody else forgave from the cross. It just didn't happen. It was so painful, the victim was beside themselves. Forgiving those who did this was never a thought for them. They would not have done that. And what happens down below? The world sneers, mocking him from the cross. The people sneered, the rulers sneered, the Romans all sneered, all of them making fun of this man who just forgave them. Even they could not look on the cross with anything but contempt. It was well known that people who had family members crucified would leave the area because it was so embarrassing, the family would never get over the disgrace of it. It was vicious, and the people who suffered it, almost without exception, people recognized deserved it, and the guilt and shame passed from one generation to the next. And in the midst of this, Luke gives us a story quite as difficult for us to comprehend as Jesus forgiving. And that in the midst of this, one who has no hope, that thief on the cross beside him, he has no hope, hopes. It is, in many ways, the most illogical place to look for hope. Now think for a moment. You are crucified upon a cross, and next to you are two other people crucified on a cross, and you look over to the one in the middle, and you look to him for hope. Why would he do this? He chooses to recognize that Jesus is in fact innocent. Before this, we're told that he cursed him, and which would be normal, which is what we would expect. They would laugh as well as anybody else at him, but he chose to recognize in the midst of his pain and suffering that Jesus was in fact innocent. He did not know this, not personally. And he recognizes his kingdom. Lord, when you get into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus is dying. He is nailed to a cross. His future is very, very short and very, very painful. And yet this man stops and looks to Jesus for hope. He was also the absolute least deserving in this crowd. Now remember, he says, I am guilty. He says to the other thief, we are worthy of what is happening to us. He recognizes his guilt. So the dying thief does something. The dying thief has no background that we know of with Jesus whatsoever. He was not brought up in Sunday school. He never got baptized. He was never accepted into the fellowship of a good Bible-believing church. There was no Bible. And yet he did this. He believed in Jesus. He repented of his sin, and he trusted in Jesus to save him. Now, Alistair Begg, if you ever know him, he's a beautiful preacher, very gifted, brings out this point and says, you know, this thief gets to the pearly gates, and the angel there stands and says, why should you come in here? Were you ever baptized, say, by John? No. Did you ever go to church? Did you ever pray a sinner's prayer? Did you ever do any of that? No. Well, why should you come into heaven? And he said, that guy on the cross said I could. He believed. All this other stuff can be good. I mean, it's even necessary for us to understand. If we are going to live, this man was not going to live. But he did in that moment what was necessary, and the only opportunity that he had. He believed in Jesus. He repented of his sin. First thing out of John the Baptist's mouth was repent. The first thing when Jesus began to preach was repent. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out, teach them to repent. And in that great sermon that Peter gave at that first Pentecostal Sunday, the people said, what should we do? And he said, repent. Repent. You recognize that you, because of that cross, have no right into heaven except through that man on that cross. The only opportunity we have for a future is that man upon the cross. But one last thing that Luke gives us to remember is justice is not served. It is very important here. It is repeated over and over again in scriptures here. Pilate, when he first examines Jesus, says what? I find no fault in this man. He sends him off to Herod, conveniently, try and get rid of him and the problem. And Herod sends back this. He has done nothing worthy of death. Herod. Then Pilate says again, oh, yes, I have found no fault in this man deserving of death. Three times. You're not supposed to miss that. Luke wants every one of his readers to understand that there's no question of Jesus' innocence. And then at the cross, when Jesus dies, Luke records that the centurion looks up and says, certainly, this man was innocent. We need to grapple with two very important concepts here. Three, actually. The first is that Jesus was completely innocent of anything. The second is we are completely guilty of everything and need the third thing, repentance. To look to Jesus, just as that thief did, to look to Jesus and trust. While nailed to a cross, looking at a man who is nailed to a cross, this man trusted. It is that type of trust that gets us into heaven. Heavenly Father, once again, all of us who know you as Father, because we've accepted your only Son as Savior, that the only reason that we can come into your presence is because Jesus Christ died in our place, what we deserved. He took upon himself all of that pain, all of that suffering, out of love. Love for us. Father, Good Friday reminds us that we are not worthy. May we never brag in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood and his death, for that is our salvation. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.